How you guys doing this morning? So like the pastor said, my name is Jamie Rich, and I'm the recovery pastor over at Aaron Lake Baptist Church. I'm also one of the reps for the state of North Carolina, and I get the privilege to go around all over the country or all over the state of North Carolina and help other churches start Celebrate Recoveries, help churches plant Celebrate Recoveries, encourage them, give them some hope, and just lead them in the right direction on how to do the thing called Celebrate Recovery that we do. You know, I don't know about you guys, but, well, let me tell you this. I've been clean from drugs and alcohol for 14 years. February 11th made 14 years that I've been clean. And it's all because of him. But, you know, it always amazes me that when I talk to pastors and they invite me to come to the church, and I always tell them my past, that I was a drug addict and alcoholic and all the rotten things I did, they still want me to come anyways. And I'm going, man, these guys, you probably want to pray for your pastor, because he might be a little messed up on something also to allow someone like me to come and share. But no, I'm just kidding. He's a great guy. And I know his heart. I've talked to him, and he has a heart for the lost. He has a heart for the hurting. And that's what Celebrate Recovery is all about. It's a safe place where people can come and they can be real and they can open up and they can share their thoughts, their feelings, their hurts. And also they can share their victories, because just because you're in recovery doesn't mean that it's all doom and gloom. There's a lot of victories, and we need to be able to share those with other people that are hurting to give them hope as well. Celebrate Recovery, first and foremost, is a Christ-centered 12-step program. We also work what we call the eight principles, which is the Beatitudes, taken straight out of the Bible, the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus taught on how to be happy. So we work those principles. We work those 12 steps that the AA, NA, all those other A groups work. And there's healing in that. But we know, we understand the healing comes from Jesus Christ. Amen. First and foremost. And he gives us a tool, an avenue of Celebrate Recovery to help people along their way. And it does work. We say it works if you work it. I don't know about you guys, but I've never done anything and got anywhere by just sitting on my butt not doing anything. If you're here this morning and you're struggling, it takes some work, does it not? We have to do some certain things to move forward. You know, as, I'm going to move this past before I spill it, I don't know, because I will make a mess up here. Every time I get ready or I'm asked to come share at a church or a function, man, the devil always tries to get to me. He always tries to talk lies, speak lies into my mind and into my heart and tell me that I'm not good enough to do this. But can I tell you, man, that's so far from the truth. But I tend to allow him to do that. Just like this morning, when I got ready I was laying in the bed and I slept in longer than I normally do. And my wife wakes up and she said, "What are you still doing in bed?" And I said, "You better get up and get ready to go to church." And I said, "Man, I'm not going to church." And she said, "What do you mean you ain't going to church?" I said, she said, "Well, give me a good reason why you're not going." I said, "I'll give you three good reasons why I'm not going. One, number one, man, I'm tired. Number two is, I just don't feel good. And number three, I'm just not going because I don't want to go." And she looked at me and she said, "Look here, big boy, I'm going to give you three reasons why you better get up and go to church." And she went on to say that you're not tired. You went to bed last night. You got 12 hours of sleep, so I know you're lying. Then she said, "I know you feel fine because you're not laying around crying and belly aching like a little baby like you normally do if you're sick." And then number three, she said, "You better get up and go because you're supposed to preach at the church this morning." And so I got up, and here I am. But the devil does try to speak lies into our life and tell us we're not good enough, that we're not worthy enough, that we're not capable enough to do things, let alone change some hurts, habits, and hangups that we have in our lives. Does he not? So what is Celebrate Recovery, and who is Celebrate Recovery for? I already told you a little bit about what Celebrate Recovery is. Now I want to tell you just real quick who Celebrate Recovery is for. If you got your Bible, if you'll turn to Genesis chapter 2, verse 25. And you all know verse 2 through 25 is all about, is before sin come into the world, and people had a presence with God, and there was no sin, and there was communion and fellowship and all those things. Life was perfect. So this part of the Bible has nothing to do with Celebrate Recovery and who needs or should go to Celebrate Recovery. The rest of the Bible, chapter 3 through the end of Revelations, has everything to do with why you should come to Celebrate Recovery, because we are all messed up people. We've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. No matter how much you think you've got life figured out and under control, there's something in your life, I promise you, if you'll be honest with yourself, that you need to allow God to work on. And He will use Celebrate Recovery just like He has in Dave and John's life and my life and so many other people around the world's lives if we will allow Him to do just that. So I want to ask you something. You don't have to raise your hand, but I'm sure I'm not the only one here that struggles with alcohol. Did you know that one out of eight people struggle with alcohol? Now, just looking at the size of the group here, if we took the poll and the eight of y'all, one out of eight of you suffer with alcohol. There's a bunch of drunk people in here this morning, is there not? But one out of eight, so you're not alone. Don't think you are. If yours happen to be drugs, whether it's illegal drugs or prescription drugs, 21.5 million people around the world struggle with that. You're not alone. And there's hope and there's help for you. You may struggle with sexual addiction of some sort, whether it's pornography or lust or whatever it may be. 72 million people around the globe struggle with this. 42.7 people that's ever used the internet have viewed some, be careful what I say with children, some site that's inappropriate at some time in their life. So that's a true struggle within not just the church, but everywhere that you can think of. Anger, over 9% of American adults has a history of impulse anger behavior. Maybe you're here this morning and you have some type of eating disorder, whether you eat too much or you don't eat enough, you're not alone. Over 30 million people struggle with that type thing, and I'm one of them. PTSD, right here on top of the military, 5.2 million people per year are diagnosed with some sort of PTSD. And can I tell you, John Lancaster's here with me this morning, and he heads up one of the groups in Celebrate Recovery called Welcome Home. It's for vets, ran by vets. So there's a place for the veterans that are in this church. All you have to do is get the leader to come alongside and help start that. You know, I learned early in my recovery, man, even though Jesus came in and He saved me and He changed me, and He actually delivered me from the drugs and alcohol just like that. I asked once and I've never done it again. But there were some other voids that in my life that I knew had to be filled. And Matthew 12:43-45 says, when an unpure spirit comes out of a person, it goes through waterless places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. And when it arrives, it finds the house unswept, clean, and put in order. Then it goes and takes with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of that person is worse than the first. You know, I realized, man, when God saved me and I gave up on those things, that I had to replace those negative defects of characters with something positive, because I did not want that stuff to come back on me. And I did that by getting involved and serving. Man, I ride by our church and people's in the parking lot. I'm on the phone calling them, seeing what's going on and why wasn't I involved? Because I wanted to be there. I wanted to be around other believers in Christ to learn from and to grow from. And it's so important that we do that. So we all want to change something in our lives, do we not? I believe it's safe to say just about everybody in here has something that they're not 100% satisfied with. So if we all want to change, why do we resist change? That's the question I want you to ponder this morning, is why do we resist change? I'm going to give you four reasons real quick why we resist, or why I feel that a lot of people resist change. Number one is pride. Most people, if not all of us here, struggles with pride to some degree. And I think there's a difference between being prideful and boastful and being proud. I mean, we all want to take care of ourselves. We want to dress nice. We want to look nice. We want to fix our hair and be presentable. But when our pride overcomes our humility, there's a problem there. And God cannot use a prideful person. You know, I'm sure a lot of churches, including mine, when we come through those front doors of the church, we put on the happy face, do we not? We're miserable on the inside, but man, we got to make sure the congregation knows we got it all together. Even if you drive up, like me and my wife's done many times, and I'm sure you guys have too, you fight all the way here in the car only to do what? Get out and hold each other's hands and walk in church like everything's perfect. That's pride, man. We need to let that go. People know at our church, don't ask us how we're doing, because we're going to tell you the truth, because we work a program where we're forced to do exactly that. So God can never use someone that's full of themselves, full of pride. Reminds me of a story that I once heard about a mountain lion. And bear with me, it's a little lengthy, but there's a mountain lion roaming around the woods, and the mountain lion was looking for a bull, man. This mountain lion loved the taste of bull. So as he's roaming around, he spots this bull, and he gets him in his sights. And if you've ever watched a cat sneak up on a dog, I got cats and dogs, they sneak, and then they just plunge on them and scare the mess out of them. Well, the mountain lion got the bull in his sights, and he creeps up, and he lunges on him, and he tears this bull from limb to limb, eats every drop of meat on him, nothing left but the dry bones. And the mountain lion, being so full of himself and so proud of his kill and what he had done, man, he just starts roaring at the top of his lungs and roaring and roaring and roaring. But what he didn't realize, man, is there was a hunter nearby, and the hunter just happened to be out there hunting mountain lion. And so it was real easy for the mountain lion to see the mountain lion because of all the racket he was making. So he finds him, he gets him in the sights, and bam, he shoots him dead. So I ask you, what's the moral of the story? The moral of the story is, man, if you're full of bull, keep your mouth shut. God cannot use a proudful person. He never will, but he can use us if we'll surrender ourselves to him. I know your pastor wants this place to be a hospital for the sick. I mean, what good is it just to have everybody that's got it all together and leave all the struggling people out there for the secular world to take care of him? That's what I love about the church and Celebrate Recovery, is we open our doors to hurting people that a lot of churches don't want those kind of people in their church. A lot of churches don't want a drug addict in their church, or someone that struggles with a struggle on the internet, or guys that ride motorcycles with vests on. I did take mine off when I come to the church, so they didn't want y'all to judge me. John didn't. He said, I don't care. I'm going to Celebrate Recovery. Let him judge. But, man, I lost where I was at. But anyway, hospital for the sick, that's what it's all about. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. If you want the Lord to lift you up, you need to humble yourself before him. Number two, the second reason that we resist change is a lack of trust. Man, we trust total strangers every day of our lives, do we not? I know I do, and so did you. When you come in here this morning, you trusted that those pews that you set your behind in was going to hold you up and not fall. When you leave here in just a couple of hours, when I get done, I'm just kidding. I'll keep a couple of hours. You're going to head out to the restaurant, and you're going to order yourself a meal, and you're going to trust that the person cooked this meal, washed his hands after he went to the bathroom, and he's not going to put something in that food that's going to make you sick. When you leave here and you drive out on to 87 and you head towards Spring Lake or Sanford and you come to that busy intersection and you stop at your red light, you're going to trust when that light turns green that the oncoming cars from the other direction stop and not smash into you and injure you or your family. So if we trust total strangers every day, multiple times a day, why in the world is it so hard for us, including myself, to trust God Almighty? Amen. The one who loves us, the one who created us, the one who sustains us, the one who breathed life into our bodies. Why is it so hard for us to trust him? I still ask myself that question daily, because I struggle with that. It's hard for me. Sometimes I want to be in control, but when I try to take control, I'm going to make a mess out of every single time. That's why I'm in the shape I'm in today. Number three, is worrying. Man, we worry about what people think about us, do we not? Especially at church. Why should we worry what other people at church care think about us? They're no good, they're no better than we are. We're all hurting, sinful people looking for healing, and we find that through Jesus Christ. Amen. But we do, man, we worry so much. I worry a lot. Some of you don't worry at all. Some of you, if the doctor tells you you've got cancer, and you say, praise God, I'm going to get to heaven even quicker than I thought. Me, I'm just the opposite, man. I get a headache, I worry the headache can turn into a tumor. I worry about everything. I can prove it, man. I'm an MVP of worry. I've got the belt. It's big. It's shiny. I have to clean it a lot because I even worry that it's going to rust. I worry a lot. But I shouldn't have to worry as long as I'm putting my trust and faith in Jesus Christ. So quit worrying about someone. A lot of people say, well, I'm not coming to celebrate recovery. I don't want anybody to see me there. I don't want people to think I'm one of those people. And can I tell you, we're all one of those people. We got the shirt to say I'm one of those people. And it simply means we're a sinner saved by grace. So you're one of those people too, whether you want to admit it or not. You admit it? Amen. And you done made me forget where I was at. Thank you. Worry. So quit worrying if people think you're going to come to celebrate recovery. Because I promise you, if they're there and they see you, they're going to be worrying that you're going to tell somebody they were there and you're going to worry. So don't worry. They're not going to tell if they see you there. And if they do, so what? Let them tell. Man, be proud that you're taking a stance and you're making a step to improve yourself in your walk with God. Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Man, we need to quit worrying. We need to quit being anxious about things and just ask God and trust that He's going to do what He has already promised He's going to do for our lives. Number four. And the last point is we feel trapped. Sometimes, man, we feel trapped. We feel that we're at the deepest point of our life, that there's no way to escape, that we can't get out of the mess we're in. Anybody ever felt like that? I know I have, man. I felt like that recently, that I was just alone. But, man, in Celebrate Recovery, you're going to learn that you have a family of people in recovery that's going to come alongside you, that's going to be there for you, that's going to support you, that's going to care for you, that's going to pray for you. Pretty much, it sounds like church, does it not? The only difference is we can reach people in a church setting called Celebrate Recovery easier than those people who's going to come to you at church because they've been hurt in church before. They've been judged, maybe not by you guys, but they've been hurt. So it's just the way we call it, backdooring people in the church. We get them in, we share the love and the hope of Jesus Christ with them, we present the gospel to them, hopefully they get saved, and then we introduce them to church. And they just come, they slide right in. And the cool thing is, man, they're already been discipled, now they're ready to serve and help the church grow in any way they can. So we all feel trapped. How many of you guys remember the story of Jessica McCure, the little 18-month-old girl that fell into the well in 1987 in Texas? Yeah, telling your age there. Somebody had to tell me about it. I'd never heard of it. I'm just kidding. I was old enough to know. But, you know, when that little girl fell in that well, she was alone. She was trapped. She knew what it felt like to be at the bottom of her pit, did she not? See, when the rescue workers got there, they realized a couple things. They realized that the rescue mission was going to have to take two phases. Number one was just to get someone down in that well along with Jessica so she wouldn't be alone. Because really, man, when we're left to be alone, our mind can play tricks on us, can it not? We start thinking some negative things. We start to give up. So they realize as a parent, I just want to get in there, man, just start digging, and pull her out. But they knew if they did that, it was going to cause chaos and ruckus and probably even kill her. So they actually dug another hole, poured it through, just so they could reach in and she could see someone she could touch the tip of their fingers, so she knew she wouldn't be alone. So they did that. Jessica was rescued, and that's pretty much the end of that story. So how does that relate to Celebrate Recovery? It relates to Celebrate Recovery because we in recovery, man, we in this church need other brothers and sisters in our lives that's going to be there to reach out to us when we feel alone, when we feel hurt, when we've blown it, when we drank too much, when we did too many drugs, when our codependency got so out of whack that we couldn't focus on anybody else's, our own happiness because we were too concerned about theirs. Whatever it is, we all need someone in our lives to encourage us and to walk alongside us, do we not? Ecclesiastes 4, 9 and 10 says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If one of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Man, we got to have other people in our lives. We call it accountability partners and sponsors, accountability team. The church calls it brothers and sisters in Christ. Whatever it is you want to call it, we all need other people in our lives to encourage us. You know, man, even God knew from the very beginning that we all needed someone else in our lives, did he not? That's why he created woman. He could see in Adam that he needed someone from the very beginning. He knew that he needed that other companion, that helper to walk alongside him. And thank God, man, that he made another woman. And when he made woman, he told Adam what he was going to get. And he said, Adam, I'm going to make you a helper. And she will cook for you and wash your clothes. She will agree, ladies, bear with me. She will agree with every decision you ever make and never complain about it. She'll have your kids and never ask you to get up in the middle of the night and change them or feed them. How'd that one work out for you? She will never nag you and be the first to admit when she's wrong. How'd that one work out for you? She'll never, kids, have a headache and always freely give you love and compassion when you need it. Adam looked at God and he said, God, how much will a lady like that cost me? And God said, a lady like that will cost you an arm and a leg. And Adam said, you know where I'm going with this, right? Adam looked at God and said, well, how much can I get for just a rib? And there you go, ladies. Thank God you're here with us to help us. My wife is my biggest supporter. She's my biggest encourager. Even when I mess up, she's always there for me. And thank God for her. So what is CR all about? Hopefully, I've tried to explain that a little without boring you to death. But it's a safe place. Man, I love that I get to have a front row seat every Monday night. That's the night we meet. To be able to see people's lives changed on a weekly basis. And I promise you, man, I think the only thing really your pastor and your deacons are waiting for is the nod from you guys to say, man, we want to do this. We can't wait to do this. But it's going to take a little more than a nod. It's going to take some help. Your pastor and John and Dave and their spouses, man, they can't do this ministry alone. It takes a team of people to do this because, let's face it, man, God isn't going to bless something and send people your way if we don't have people in place to take care of them, do they not? Who wants to go to the hospital and there's no nurses? Not me. So the same thing, people. God's not going to send people to us if we're not ready to take care of them. So, man, I encourage you guys this morning to think about this ministry and pray about this ministry and what ways that you can be used by God to help other hurting people. And, man, God will bless that the ministry of Celebrate Recovery. Not only that, God will grow your church through the ministry of Celebrate Recovery as well. Guys, I'm going to invite your pastor back up. That's all I've got for you guys this morning. Hopefully you've enjoyed it and will entertain the idea of getting on board and letting Celebrate Recovery come to this part of North Carolina. Thank you.
Well, I know your heart was blessed today. Amen. And you know, there might be someone here today And as Jamie well said, all of us are struggling with something. Everybody's got something. So we're going to do the invitation now. It's called I Surrender All. That's what it takes. And I think Jamie made it very clear. It's only in Christ. And that's why Celebrate Recovery succeeds, because he's the only one who can deliver. He's the only one that can set the captive free. Amen. We've all sinned. Everybody in this room has sinned. Here's the question. We're fixing to exit now. We're fixing to leave the building. Are you going to leave having received Christ or having rejected him? And everybody's going to do that right now. You either have received him or you've rejected him, right? You say, well, how do I receive him? Number one, you realize you're a sinner. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second of all, you repent of your sin. The Bible tells us the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, but as he died for us, that we might repent and turn from our sin. He gives us the gift to repent. And number three, you receive. Salvation's a gift. You don't work for it. You don't deserve it. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The day could be your day, but here's what you got to do. You got to throw up that white flag and say, I surrender. Are you tired of struggling? Then surrender. If God's leading you to be a part of this church, you know Christ is your Savior. Today's a good day. I can't think of a better day for you to make that choice.